Well, everybody's getting to their seats. Turn your Bible to the book of Mark, chapter 5, for our thoughts this morning. Mark, chapter 5. Thank you very much, my sister. Everybody stand with me as I read the text. I have to be reminded, y'all got to help me. I got what they called old timers disease. I have to be reminded. You'd think I'd be used to being reminded. For 41 years, my wife has reminded me, go here, go there, do this, do that. Amen. All right, Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse... let's start at 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing to himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's pray. Father, again, I'm thankful for this opportunity to be able to stand before your congregation, and open your blessed and holy word, and we'll be able to proclaim it with boldness and authority. Pray your blessings on the word and the preaching of your word. I pray you just give me of my sins and shortcomings. Give me anything that would hinder me from being able, Lord, to deliver your word. I want to be a vessel, Lord, that you can use. So, Lord, again, cleanse me and wash me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this privilege. And Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit have his way in our hearts and lives this morning. May he speak to us as I preach the word, and may he do his work in the hearts of those that are here. Well, there's probably someone here that needs to be saved. We just pray for their salvation. Someone here that needs to act in faith. We just pray, Lord, that they'll not be hindered by the devil, but they'll do what you tell them to do. So bless the message. And again, I love you and praise you, and I thank you for your son and his sacrifice on Calvary. It's in Jesus' name we pray this morning. Everyone said, Amen. Please be seated. You study Gospel of Mark. You come to the end of chapter 4, you'll find that there is a mighty storm on the lake. And it was no problem for Jesus, was it? You'll find that there was demonic on the other side of the lake, had a legion of demons in him. And believe it or not, it was no problem for Jesus. Now we find he's on his way to a ruler of the synagogue's house. His name was Jairus. His daughter was sick unto death. And that's where he's headed, to take care of that problem also. And again, let me reiterate, it wasn't a problem for him. I guess what I want to get across to you before we get into the message is this. I do not know what's on your heart. I do not not know what you're going through. God does. And whatever it is, it's not a problem for God. Understand this morning. It doesn't matter how sick you are. God can handle that illness. It doesn't matter if you're lost. Listen to me. He can save you today. It doesn't matter the storm you're facing, whether it's financial or physical, and above all, spiritually, God can calm that storm. He's more than able. We just have to have faith and trust Him. Now, the Bible tells us while Jesus is on His way to Jairus' house, there's a great crowd of people there. And you know, the Bible says that they thronged Him. I mean, they were all around Him, bumping into Him, one after the other. It was a great crowd. And by the way, Jesus likes crowds. Amen? But not only does He like crowds, He likes us individuals. I was one of those individuals that cried out in my distress. Wasn't a crowd around me when I did. I wasn't at the church house when I met the Savior. I was at my grandmother's mobile home. But He was there. Just like He's here today. So with that said, let's get into the Word. I want to talk to you just for a little bit. I want to preach on the subject of the case of the ruined woman. And according to the Word of God, it says this. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, here was a woman. According to the Scripture, she had an issue of blood. Well, in other words, she was hemorrhaging. Now, I'm not going to get into the details. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me exactly where she was hemorrhaging, where she was bleeding. But it was a constant flow of blood. Now, anybody that's ever lost any amount of blood knows it's debilitating. You see, you become very weak. You become anemic. You become very pale. And I mean, it takes every ounce of energy you have just to get up out of bed. It is a very debilitating disease. The Bible says she had this for 12 years. Now, you think we have problems? 12 years. And it's a continual flow of blood. Think about her anguish there. Her life is leaving her body every day. She's getting closer and closer to death, and she understands that. You don't want me to tell you how close we are to death? One breath, one heartbeat. That's why you need to be ready, beloved. Now, the Bible says this. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things of many physicians. Now think about it. It wasn't like she didn't try to find a cure. The Bible says she suffered many things from physicians. And let me just tell you, physicians back then aren't like the doctors we have today. You see, today we have x-rays. We got all kinds of things that can help with our diagnosis and that can help us get on the road to recovery. But back then, a lot of what those physicians did for people was superstitious stuff. You know, in the Talmud, a cure for an issue of blood was boil 9 Persian onion logs in wine and drink it. And then say, thy flux be removed from me. A lot of help there, huh? They even had another one. Take an ear of corn from a white donkey and spread dung on it and carry it with you. That'll stop your issue of blood. Stupidity is what it was. For one, I'm not carrying an ear of corn with dung on it. I don't think I'd have any friends around me. Amen. One, I would stink. And two, everybody would say, there is definitely something wrong with that hillbilly. Amen. But she went and suffered many things from these doctors. And the Bible says she spent all she had. And let me tell you, because she had this issue of blood. There's a couple things. One, lets me know she wasn't married. Because had she been married, it would have defiled her husband. In fact, if she was married, he would have probably divorced her. Because he would have been considered ceremonially unclean. You see, there were strict laws back then. You see, in the book of Leviticus chapter 15, and we ain't got time to turn there. If you want to read about some of that, read Leviticus 15. Because it'll tell you exactly what God expected. Not only was she not married, but think about it. She couldn't even go to the women's court in the temple to worship God. Again, why? Because she was considered unclean. And believe me, she was treated like an outcast. She was treated no better than a leper would have been treated. And she had to depend on the goodness of other people to feed her. And they would have to feed her at a distance because she couldn't work. So I would say she was in pretty bad shape. But let me say again, in reiterating, there's nothing too hard for God. God can do the impossible. And He looks to do that. It's not a problem. So the Bible says that a certain woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was hemorrhaging and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. And nothing was better. Think about that. Prognosis. You've got this, you've got that, never going to get no better. Live with it. That would be a hard cracker to swallow, wouldn't it? And she tried all these years to get better. And the Bible says that she grew worse. Think about that. She grew worse. You know what that's a picture of? This woman is a picture of a sinner that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior. You see, we were all born with a blood disease. We inherited that disease from Adam. Now, I want you to understand, a lost person is ill spiritually. But listen to me, the cure is always in Jesus Christ because He is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And if you call upon Him, He can give you a blood transfusion. He can give you a new heart. He can give you a new life. And He's willing to do that if you'll just ask. You don't have to deal with that old blood issue. Because Jesus, His blood cleanses us from all sin. But not only is she a picture of a lost sinner, she's also a picture of a believer that is burdened. Now, we all have storms in life. We all have burdens. In our families, out of job, we have burdens. But you understand what Jesus told us, right? In chapter 11 of Matthew, He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest." So why would you carry that burden any longer? Why don't you come to Christ? Why would you deal with that issue when you don't have to? He says, "You could bring it to me. I'll handle that for you." You say, "Well, He might handle it for somebody else. For me, no, He doesn't." Listen, go to Psalms real quick. Psalms 18. Psalms 18. Look at verse 6. Still hear pages, so I'll give you a second. Psalms 18 and verse 6. "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice and out of His temple, and my cry came before Him even into His ears." Beloved, any problem you are facing in this life, you are not alone. You can call on the name of the Lord and He will hear your cry. you ever done that before? Do you trust Him to hear you? I do. And He's never failed me once. He's always heard my cry. He'll hear yours this morning. Amen. Now, it says that she had suffered many things, many physicians, and spent all she had, and nothing was better, but rather grew worse when she had heard of Jesus. Now, I don't know how she heard about the Lord. Possible she heard about that man that was possessed across the lake. Maybe. Maybe she had heard about some leper that He had healed. Maybe some outcast that the Lord touched came and told her personally that there's a man named Jesus. But she made up her mind that, hey, I have to do something. I have to get to Christ. And beloved, I want to encourage you this morning. The answer you'll find, no matter what you're facing, is always in Christ. Always. Not Dr. Phil. Not Oprah. Not some self-help guru. You get to Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone will help you. Now, and when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. Let me kind of give you a picture. She mustered everything she had to get out of bed that day. And I'm sure she kind of disguised herself, because think about this. Had anybody recognized you, you know what would have happened? Because as she's going through the press, just like the Lord, everybody's, all this great crowd that's thronging around Him, she's touching people. And according to the Word of God, when they were touched, they were unclean until evening. So anybody that got touched, had they recognized her, they would have called her out. And what I mean by call her out is they would have either beat her or stoned her to death. Okay? So she's desperate. And she's willing to do whatever is necessary to get to Jesus. I'll ask you this morning, how desperate are you to get to Christ? You see, we have to get to a point where Jesus is the only answer. If you're lost, you need to understand Jesus is the only Savior. There's no other way of salvation but through Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. There's no other. You must get to the point where you are desperate and you recognize Jesus is the only one. Same thing with us that are struggling with our trials. And we all have them. We have to come to the point where we understand He's the only one that can help us. Amen. We go through things. All of us as Christians. And you know, what we go through, we want the right answers. And you know, we'll read books instead of the book. We'll listen to preachers preach sermon after sermon instead of going to the great preacher. And then we'll even ask advice from others. And believe me, there's nothing wrong with getting advice from someone that's spiritual. But beloved, what I'm trying to get across to you is you need to get to the point where I just have to get to Christ. He and He alone can handle my problem, my illness, my finance, my home. You got to get to Christ. This woman musters up enough determination, she's going to go. Covers herself up. She's in that crowd. And look at what the Bible says. She came in the press behind and touched His garment. Now, think about this. She didn't do it in front, but she got behind Him. And I don't know if it was the hem. I don't know if it was a tassel on His prayer shawl. I have no clue. But the Bible says that she touched His garment. And beloved, when's the last time you've been touched by the Lord? And when's the last time you've touched Him? In prayer, in Bible study, in church attendance, in giving, in sharing your faith. When's the last time? You see, beloved, it's important that we touch. You know, think about this. I mean, sometimes we act like we're ashamed. We really do. Be like me, arm in arm with Lord. We're walking downtown somewhere. And then I see one of them. I turn and I run down the alley and I hide behind a trash can. Of course, she's looking, going, what did I do? Why did I do that? And then that person walks on by. I raise up. She goes, what are you doing? Why did you do that? Oh, I didn't want him to see me with you. You reckon that would fly? She would beat me stupid. Amen. She would beat me stupid if I said something like that. But we laugh and we jest, but that's how we treat God sometimes. See, we don't want to be seen with Him. We don't want to come to church and people see us pull into the parking lot. We don't want people to see us with the Word of God. We don't want people to see us on our knees crying out to God in prayer. We don't want people to see us knocking on doors and asking people if they know the same. How do you think God feels? He feels the same way Lori would have felt. Father said, I didn't want them to see me with you. That's why we should never be ashamed to reach out to them. Amen. Now, the Bible says this. Touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now listen to me. There were many people in that crowd that day. Listen to me. They were bumping in and out against Jesus that whole time as he made his way to Jairus' home. And they were touching him. But you know what? They needed to be saved. They needed a healing. They needed his touch. But the reason they didn't receive it was because she had faith. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. And the others just touched him. That's right. See? Amen. From a babe, mouth of a babe. But you understand. She touched him. And it was by faith. A lot of us want to be around him. A lot of us bump up against him. But the reason we don't have answer to our prayers, the reason we aren't healed by his touch, because we don't do it in faith. You see, faith plus his power, it gets done. Amen. It gets done. Now, and straightway, she touched the hem of his garment. The Bible says straightway. That means immediately. Not in some delayed action, but right then, right there, the moment she touched and she exercised faith, boom, she knew there's a change. I can feel it in my body. Let me tell you something. Anybody that's ever got to Jesus and Jesus touched them, there is a knowing. There's not a wondering or a hoping. You get it all right then, right there. And you know it. I've talked to many, many people years I've been out here about Christ. And you ask them, do you know Jesus? I hope I do. What? I don't know if I'm saved or not. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what I always tell them? Well, if you have any doubts, let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now. Ask Him to save you. That's how you handle that. But how do you not know if you've been to Christ or not? Amen. You know how I know I was saved? Because I was there when it happened. That's how I know. I know that I know. Yep, amen. And notice it says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She knew she was healed. It stopped. I believe with all my heart, it flowed continuously till she touched the hem of his garment and exercised weak, simple, childlike faith. And that moment, that calling on the Lord, boom, healed. Now, as I said earlier, beginning the message, ain't no problem with the Lord. Notice, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, and by the way, that word virtue means power. You see, immediately, and I know it says here that Jesus asked the disciples, hey, who touched me? Jesus already knew who touched him. You see, he already willed it for this woman. He already knew. But he is getting them to say and recognize, hey, this man we're following, this man has called us, go out two by two. He's the real deal. And he certainly is, brother. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Because the power had gone out of him. Notice, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Isn't that a bunch, like a bunch of Baptists? Think about that. Lord, come on. How are we going to be able to tell? They're all touching you. But then notice what Jesus did here. And he looked round about to see her. They've done this thing. Again, he knew who it was. Great crowd again. It just shows who he is. Turned around. He sees her. Now, think about this for a second. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. You see, I want you to understand, the Lord is on his way to Jairus' house. There's a need there at that house. That's where he's headed. But here's a woman that's hemorrhaging. She has an issue of blood for 12 years. She comes up behind him. She touches his garment and she's healed. He stops right there in his tracks, right there and right then. It didn't matter what else was going on in the world. He knew that there was a need to meet, and he stopped to meet that need. What does that show me and you? That God loves us, he cares about us, we're important to him, and no matter what's going on in the universe, listen, the Lord controls every molecule in an atom in this universe. But listen to me, because he is sovereign and he controls it all, he still is willing to stop and to hear us when we call upon him. When we have a need, he's not going to let that need go by. He's going to stop and meet that need. What a Savior! What a Savior. Now, he sees her. Look at what it said. Woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. And I can understand her fear and trembling. You see, no doubt, she probably thought, well, what if he reacts just like the rest of the people? See, everybody else, she was an outcast. Everybody else, she was a problem. To everybody else, you know, they wanted nothing to do with her. What if he rejects me? What if he doesn't want anything to do? What if he's fixing to scold me? But listen to me. No, she didn't have anything to worry about with Jesus. See, Jesus cares about everything that we're going through. We don't have to be afraid he's going to ever reject us. We don't have to be afraid he'll cast us away. We can come to him any and every time and say, Lord. And he has the time to deal with us. Now, She comes before him, fear and trembling. And she fell down before him and told him all the truth. As I was studying and all this week, this passage and whatnot, trying to do some background on this woman, didn't find a whole lot except what's right here. Well, there in Matthew also, but doesn't tell her name, doesn't tell all of her circumstances other than she had this issue, and she was smart enough to get to Jesus. But I want you to see something. Yes, she touched the hem of his garment, and the Bible says she was made whole. And she knew it. And you know, Jesus could have said, well, okay, I'm going to go on. But he didn't. He stopped. And the Bible says she came to the front and she fell before him and told him everything. You see, it wasn't enough that Jesus just physically healed her. Now he wants to save her. Amen. He wants to save her. So she, in front of him, openly confesses of a change, not only physically, but the change that was wrought in her heart. You see, that was an open profession. When people walk down the aisle and they kneel before the cross and the Savior and ask Him to save them, He doesn't want you ashamed. He doesn't want you hiding it. He wants you to openly profess that I've been saved by the blood of Jesus. And that's what He's bringing her to do here. It wasn't enough just to physically heal her. Now He's going to save her. How do you know, preacher? Because it says this right here. It says, He said unto her, daughter, and by the way, if you'll look in Scripture, that's the only time Jesus ever called any other woman daughter. He says, thy faith has made thee what? Whole. And that word whole means you're saved. You see, salvation means you've been delivered from what? Trouble. Distress. You see, He saved her. But notice also, He said, daughter. Beloved, I want you to understand. When He called her daughter, it meant that God Himself has just called her into His family. You see, she might have been an outcast in society. Might have been just a nobody. But now, she's somebody because God called her daughter. Oh, I tell you what. I know when I got saved, I didn't understand all the riches of Christ. I had no clue. I just knew that I'd been saved from hell. And I'll be honest, that was a motivating factor coming to Jesus. I didn't want to go to hell when I died. But then, after a period of time, Holy Spirit began to show me some things in His Word. He started showing me that, one, God loved me. Two, I had a home in heaven waiting for me. Three, the power of sin no longer had control over me. Oh, I still deal with sin, and so do you. But it doesn't have the same power that it once had. Not only that, but I have been cleansed and forgiven. My sins are to be remembered no more. I am a child of God. I'm a son. You ladies here that have trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're His daughters. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, the riches of Christ! And He says, daughter, you are whole. Beloved, when you are made whole by Jesus, you are whole. You have no more issues. You are right with God. There is peace with God. You've been reconciled to God. There's nothing to worry about. All this other stuff, don't let it bog you down. Don't let it drag you down. Just remember who you are in Jesus and go on. If you die, you're going to be with Him. If you're around when the trumpet sounds, you're going up to be with Him. But listen, that should comfort your heart. That should comfort your heart. Notice what He says. He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Go in peace. Anybody that's ever touched Christ, Christ has touched them, there is a peace that passes all understanding. Before, that's with a troubled woman, 12 years of hemorrhaging. Day by day, life going out of her. Knowing death was coming. But now, the Lord's made her whole. He's delivered her, not only physically, but praise God, spiritually. Now, she has peace. How about you? You see, this woman, according to society was ruined. She was a reject. She was an outcast. Wasn't worth nothing. Not so with Jesus. You see, Jesus said, "What would a man give in exchange?" See, every soul is precious. And again, He'll make time. See, what I love about this, and I'm going to hush, is this. I didn't bring it up, but I'm going to bring it up now because, one, the Lord just put it back in my head. And that was this. You understand, she would have never been able to have touched Jesus had He not been a man. Listen to me. He was a man. And according to Hebrews chapter 4, He was able to understand us because He was just like us. We'd have never been able to have touched Him had He not become a man. Now don't listen to me though. He was a man, tempted, went through the same things you and I have went through, suffered everything, just like us, because He was human. But He was also God. And believe me, the touch of this unclean woman didn't bother Him a bit because of who He was. He was God. So if you're under the sound of my voice this morning and you need a touch, I'm here to tell you, you can come to the Lord. And He will touch you. He'll touch you for salvation. He'll touch you for service. He will touch you. If you'll allow. But I want to say it one more time and I'm done. Don't be like the rest of that crowd. There was only one person. There's lots of people there, but only one person touched the Lord and was made whole. Only one on the way to Jairus' house. You know why? Because she touched Him in faith. She had the faith. Brothers and sisters, lost friend, you're going to have faith. Are you willing to exercise that faith this morning? Don't be like those others. Bumping against Jesus all the time and never being smart enough to say, "I want what she has. I want what she has." Call on the Lord. He will save you in your distress. He's more than able to handle any issue you have. Just come. Father, we love You. And we praise You. We're thankful for this day. We're thankful for this opportunity to come and assemble in Your house in Your name, share Your word.